we have Isabel Kershedian joining us. She is the Washington Post Moscow correspondent, and she joins us now on Sportsnet 650. Isabel, thanks so much for joining us here. You used to cover the Washington Capitals, and now you are in Russia covering all the affairs going on there. How's that all going for you?
Yeah, it's been good. A little bit different from, you know, my time covering the NHL. It's been, you know, crazy here, especially the last couple months. But other than that, pretty good. Just colder.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. And we remember having you on talking about the Capitals, especially based out of Washington for the Washington Post. But it is interesting that now that you are the correspondent in Moscow, you are dealing with this hockey story yet again. And it has to do with Artemi Panarin. And long story short, a former KHL coach of his, Andrei Nazarov, claims the winger got into a physical altercation with a teenager, an 18-year-old woman at the time, back in Latvia in 2011. But, you know, obviously us being out here and understanding the credibility of that story, can you give us some background as to where these allegations stem from and why there's so much controversy over the person making these allegations?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think you have to look at the timing first and foremost. You know, why is this coming out now about something that reportedly happened, you know, 10 years ago? And I think it goes back to, you know, Panarin posting this Instagram message of support for Alexei Navalny, who is, you know, this prominent Russian opposition figure, was poisoned in August in what he says was a state-ordered hit on his life by President Vladimir Putin, recovers in Germany for 5 months, comes back to Russia in January, and is immediately jailed. And so Panarin, you know, like a lot of other Russians, kind of, you know, comes out with this message of support, posts a photo of Navalny on Instagram, you know, hashtag free Navalny. And that's not the first political statement Panarin has made. You know, 2 years ago, he did an interview and was a little bit more critical of Putin in that, you know, talking about how he doesn't, the mistake Russians make is thinking that Putin is superhuman, that he's, you know, the only alternative for Russian people. So Panarin's definitely been finding his political voice, I would say, these past couple of years. But, you know, Nazarov, I do think that was sort of his agenda in, you know, talking to a pro-Kremlin news outlet that didn't really do a lot of investigative reporting in this. They just kind of printed his words without looking into it. And so, yeah, it's not very credible. The kind of details and the interviewer are pretty outrageous that there was a 40,000 euro cash payoff to Latvian police, as if it's like so easy to just walk into like a Latvian bank and like get 40,000 euros in cash out without anyone asking any questions about that. So, you know, I don't even, what's interesting is I didn't even see this story in Russia all day. I mean, I'm pretty in tune to news here, especially hockey. Like it wasn't even on my radar. It got picked up, you know, by some, you know, sports outlets, but it didn't become a bigger deal. And really the first I saw of it was kind of Larry Brooks's tweet that Panarin was going to take a leave of absence. So, I mean, the whole thing is strange. I do think it is tied to Panarin's political activism, but I don't even think people in Russia, you know, saw Nazarov's, you know, interview as being credible at all.
Well, what's interesting, because you mentioned that Panarin's been vocal in the past. Were those met with any sort of repercussions, or why now?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, not that I could see. I think if they were, then, you know, maybe Panarin wouldn't have come out and did this, right? I just, you know, I think now is kind of an especially tense political time with the Navalny stuff. You know, there's been protests in support of Navalny. You do see kind of more of a divide in, I would say, Russian society right now. But, you know, an Instagram post, while it's super rare for any Russian athlete to say anything political, especially against Putin, you know, as far as political activism goes, you know, an Instagram post is still like pretty benign. I have to think this is, you know, Andrei Nazarov, you know, own kind of personal vendetta, or maybe he just doesn't like Panarin's political views. I do think he's been critical about Panarin, you know, kind of voicing criticism of Putin in the past and just kind of decided to, you know, say all these things.
Well, the fact that Panarin is taking some time away from the team a little bit tells you that this obviously to some degree is very bothersome to him, and obviously and perhaps even a little bit scary. How concerning could it be for him on a personal level for any relatives or friends he does have back in Russia? Is that a legitimate concern for him to take time off? I know it'd be making assumptions and presuppositions here about all this, but is that a legitimate concern for people that have been outspoken against Putin or have been viewed to be as such?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that definitely being the case. I think there is some nuance here, right? Because, I mean, on the one hand, we're talking about a country that pretty much everybody believes, you know, poisoned its main opposition politician. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of, you know, like outrageous things happen here. And that leads you to believe that other outrageous things will continue to happen, right? That, yes, just because you, you know, posted something on Instagram, your family could be in danger. That's certainly in the realm of possible when, you know, you compare it to Alexei Navalny's poisoning. However, I think it's a leap right away to say this story, Andrei Nazarov talking to, you know, an outlet is, you know, Kremlin orchestrated. I don't know that, you know, somebody from the Kremlin called up Nazarov and said, okay, we want to, like, you know, take retribution on Panarin. So go and say these things. I think they just like probably would have done a better job with it if that was the case. This wasn't like credible in any way as far as, you know, a woman didn't even come forward. So I do understand. I think it is entirely possible that he is worried about his family. There could be more going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, as far as maybe there have already been some threats, or maybe he knows about something else that we just don't know about. But I wouldn't automatically connect, you know, Nazarov's attempt to smear Panarin to, you know, this being something that is a sign that Putin's coming after Panarin, if that makes sense.
What's fascinating for, I guess, us here in North America is, you know, I woke up to this news, I'm thinking, wow, what a shock. And we deal with the scope of this idea of what it is like in Moscow or in Russia. What's, you kind of mentioned how it wasn't really news there. Just in general, is this kind of like another day in Moscow, or, you know, what's the day-to-day like for situations like this?
Yeah, I mean, compared to the news here of, you know, the past 6 months, yeah, it's pretty, it didn't really rate that much, which is kind of saying something, right? But, you know, there's been a big crackdown here on dissent lately where, I mean, even being an activist of any kind, whether it's like the environment or feminism, could lead to like a random raid of your apartment. So people here in general are like super spooked about any sort of, you know, social, political dissent. There is a huge crackdown. And, you know, maybe Panarin is responding to that, that he sees kind of what's going on in the country as a whole, where repressions have been super ramped up. And he's worried that, you know, kind of his family could be next. But I do find it interesting, though, that like right away, I mean, a lot of people, even in Russia, kind of jumped to his defense. I just saw, you know, one report where, you know, players who were on the team with Panarin at the time have come out and said, like, this is absolutely false. So, you know, it's pretty clear that even here, nobody really sees this as, you know, being credible or true.
Washington Post Moscow correspondent Isabel Kershedian is our guest. And one final thing before we let you go here, Isabel, and thank you so much for your time. It's interesting because one guy who has been supportive of Putin, and it is the best player from Russia, is Alexander Ovechkin. And I know people might criticize him for that every once in a while, but this situation and others we've seen in the past, and you spoke very eloquently about how people who are in opposition to the government, what might happen to them or risk they'd undertake doing so, it does kind of underscore why a lot of players would rather just cozy up with Putin and do what he kind of wants and be on his side as opposed to be in opposition to him. And sometimes perhaps maybe that chumminess is calculated as opposed to being a endorsement of that individual.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in Ovechkin's case, I mean, there are some athletes who just don't really say anything, right? They don't really like voice their huge support for Putin, but they don't, you know, really say dissent either. I think what makes Panarin unique is that he is kind of alone, I would say, as far as how high profile he is in his criticism. And I think that contributes to sort of his unease too, is that he's kind of the only one, so he stands out in particular. But that being said, you know, I think Ovechkin is unique in kind of the steps he's taken in how much he supports Putin, which I don't think is something he had to do. And maybe some people will disagree with me on that, but I don't know that he absolutely had to start, you know, the Putin team, which was this kind of propaganda campaign, I would say, ahead of the 2018 elections, you know, which Putin, for all intents and purposes, ran unopposed. To me, I know how high profile Ovechkin is, especially for Russians, but I don't know that, you know, he's doing that because he feels like it's something he has to do. I think maybe there's some part of him that wants to do that. And honestly, that's okay in the sense that most Russians at the end of the day still do support Putin. If you live here and you're an average Russian, I mean, there's an entirely possible chance that you do like your president. That's not a crazy opinion to have here. So I think there's a difference between, you know, saying I don't want to be politically active because I'm afraid, and going out of your way to voice support for someone.
Great stuff. Isabel Kershedian, Washington Post Moscow correspondent. Fantastic breakdown of everything going on with Panarin and the situation in Russia. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.